It's episode 1098, and it's the Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, Derek Miner. And joining us, normally she's in Nashville, but today she's in Dallas, our very own downtown Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
All right, and big news. Y'all know last episode was the end of the Jamie Ivey era. She's going on to bigger and better things. She's going to school and everything. And we told you that we would be announcing our new cast member on this show. So please welcome from Los Angeles, California, one half of Social Club Misfits. It's Marty. Hey, man.
Hey, what's going on? I'm really glad that the person before me went to ITT Tech, so now I can have this job. This is great. Yeah. She's going to get her dental, right? She said dental degree.
HVAC repair.
I'm not going to lie. I was actually hoping for Fern, but
Well, he does have a better voice. He's got a way better voice.
Shots fired.
I have to answer it like it's a political debate. Like, this is like the debate. You know, it's like, he gets the compliment. He's got a way better voice than me. You're probably right, but also taxes and stuff. Thank you for having me, and I'm excited. Hopefully we don't get sued, guys.
Yeah.
Let's not get sued.
Fingers crossed.
When you got the call, tell us what went through your head. We want to, you know,
you got called up to the big league, what was it like?
Did it feel like draft day?
I thought it was going to be like, hey, the last time you were on the episode, legal had something to tell because of some of the things you said.
Yeah.
Do you have a quick call, 5 minutes, HR, who's going to talk to you some things? But then Cam was like, hey, man, also, you know, would love to have, I mean, it means a lot. I love doing this. It's awesome. I mean,
we have fun.
This is the coolest thing in the world. Awesome, the best podcast in the world, baby.
All right, there you go.
We're stoked to have you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have a great show in store for you. Coming up later, we talk to King's Kaleidoscope. They have a new album that just came out. It's awesome. Like, if you aren't on King's Kaleidoscope, you need to. They're an amazing group.
They're crazy.
Also, at the end of the show, we have your feedback. But stay tuned. Up next, it's Relevant Buzz. You're listening to The Killers. It's their new single, Your Side of Town. Not sure what's next after college? Ready to step out of your comfort zone and into something meaningful? Check out the Global Ambassador Program from ELIC. You'll spend 9 months, September to May, on a team of passionate people just like you in Thailand, Tunisia, or Uzbekistan. You'll grow through mentorship, take language classes, immerse yourself in a new culture, and teach English to the local community, all while building real-life skills and making a real impact. Sound good? Head to elic.org/relevant to learn more. Again, that's elic.org/relevant. Okay, it's time for
Relevant Buzz.
All right, tell us what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture this week, Emily.
Yeah, the first thing I want to talk about is this interesting new trend among Gen Z. This new poll found that 52% of young adults see moderate drinking, which is drinking 1 to 2 drinks a day, as unhealthy. And that's a big jump from just 5 years ago in 2018, when only 34% of young adults felt that way. So an 18% jump in 5 years.
Yeah, wait until you're an adult. An adult.
Gen Z are adults, okay? Some of them.
But again, like, to be fair, they're not wrong. No one's suggesting it's healthy.
Right.
Exactly.
I could say, well, you know, I only have ice cream 4 times a week, you know? It's what's how unhealthy. It's a spectrum of unhealthiness is, I think,
But 34% 5 years ago said it was unhealthy, and now 52% say it's unhealthy. So it's like their thoughts about drinking are changing. You know what
else is unhealthy? Mm-hmm. Ice cream.
What?
ice cream is awful.
La 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 la.
Exactly. Don't hear that.
You know why? Can I tell you why I think this is the reason? Can I tell you why? I think this generation, this is just me being from California. Who knows? I'm, you know, hippie, tie-dye, you know, we're over here.
Yeah.
I think that this generation is doing more weed. And there's so much more access to it.
Vaping.
And it doesn't make you die when you drive in it. Not saying that that's what I'm doing, but I'm just telling you that is one of the reasons why there's so many. I mean, there's so much. There's a whole market for it. And, you know, I'm guessing that more likely that that's accessible. You're probably able to get that. And it's, you know, if you're 18, you just go get it. That's it. And it's, you know, liquor is different. Liquor, it makes you fatter. I don't know. But I just think that I was reading that the other day in a different article about how this generation's choosing to do like more THC products than like drink. So
that, yeah, that is one of the reasons, like as just other alternatives have become available for relaxing.
Okay. What do they call it now? They call it, there's a name out here in LA, they call it applied science. They say, yeah, I'm doing, they call it, that's like the nickname for mushrooms. It's like applied science.
I was gonna say, that feels more
what's
like,
what's that, Rashada? What they call it, okay. Rashada, they call that, those mushrooms, they call them like Rashada, those, do you guys know what I'm talking about? Rashada or something?
Oh, yeah.
are you speaking in tongues?
You sound
Pentecostal.
Ashwagandha. I'm speaking in tongues over here.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's another thing. You know, it's funny. My pastor this weekend talked about it. What's it called? Erwin McManus in Mosaic. He was talking about it, how people like go up to him all the time and say, "I had the best spiritual experience on doing those mushrooms." And so I just feel like people are branching out into different things. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, it definitely seems like different substances are more accessible and more accepted than you know, previous generations where it was just, you know, sneaking some beers or whatever. You know what I mean?
Sneaking like, a beer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Marty, I noticed something when you were talking. You said, you know, you're from California. You've lived there about two and a half
weeks. No, I'm not. Now I'm from here now. I'm from Florida.
You're not
from New York, actually.
All right.
Then I'm from Miami. Then I'm from California. I always have a place in Miami, Florida, baby.
All right. Okay.
Also, aren't you guys getting hit with a hurricane in Florida? You guys?
There is literally a hurricane happening outside right now.
Yeah.
So if I go away, it's because my power got cut out by the hurricane. So just
It's coming all the way up to Orlando.
It's outside right now. It's like, I mean, it didn't directly hit us. It hit north of us, but they're huge, and so you get the weather. I mean, within hundreds of miles, you know. So. Yeah, stuff's blowing around outside. Trees are sideways. Yeah,
that explains why like your connection makes you look like Wreck-It Ralph.
There you go.
Wreck-It Ralph. While Derek said that, Cam is like slowing down. I don't know if anybody sees that. Like, he's not moving. He's like, because of the connection.
I'm going to wreck it.
No, we were talking about the hurricane this morning because you know, there's a couple people on staff that are from Florida. One of the guys was like, I slept through it. And that is the most like Florida thing I can ever think of like, I slept through the hurricane. Yeah. My bad.
We love overnight hurricanes because it's like you wake up and it's over. You're like, it's great. Yeah. And if the power goes out, you don't even know.
Marty, did you get hit with the hurricane earthquake?
Hurricane and an earthquake.
The hurricane.
Last
hurricane.
Week. The hurricane. Yeah. I was like waiting for Tara Reid to come out because it just felt like, you know, Sharknado, which is in all his movies. I was like, where's Tara Reid? Where is she? You know, because we had a hurricane, Rehab. Which was just heavy rain. It's messed up. So we had the hurricane and then an earthquake, which was just small, but it was a little shaker. And I was like, what is going on here? It just felt like Omega Code was coming to life. You know, like it just felt like one of those old movies from Jesus was going to come back or so. Where's Kirk Cameron? I don't know. I don't know where he is.
So being a Floridian living in Cali, on a scale of 1 to 10, how comparable were the earthquakes?
Or the hurricanes?
To like a hurricane?
Earthquake, hurricane. The hurricane,
I mean,
were you like, I've seen this before, this is nothing, or were you like,
everyone's
serious?
Asking me like I was the resident, like veteran, like they kept asking me like, hey, so what do? Do we need sandbags? I'm like, no, we don't. They're like, I was like, you know, let's get gas. And anyone in Florida knows you get water and gas. That's like the first two things you do in Florida. And no one was getting water and no one was getting gas. So I was like, all right, I guess it's not a problem because no one out here knew what to do. So ended up, the hurricane was. like not a big deal for us. It was more for like San Diego and other parts. But the earthquake hit us, and that was weird because that was like, you know, you're doing this for a second, you have to stay between the door, you know, the door hinge like this, and it was like 2 minutes, and we were fine.
Yeah.
Oh my
The only thing that can make it worse is volcano. I feel like that's one.
Yeah, yeah. That would be the
volcanoes
worst.
In the spectrum of national of natural disasters, volcanoes don't get a lot of love. Like when I was a kid,
that's a pretty bad one. Yeah.
And yeah, I am like the if I had a hierarchy of things that are like, these are reasonable fears. It's like the John Mulaney thing. It's like, when I was a kid, I thought quicksand was going to be a much bigger problem as an adult than it actually is. Right. Like, I never got. Yeah. But in my mind as a kid, it's like, ugh. Volcanoes, man. Before I book travel, I have to ensure there's no volcanoes. Because in my mind, as like, you know, an 8-year-old that watches cartoons, you're like, there's a near certainty that I'm going to need to dodge lava at some point. Every video game, if you grew up like in the 80s and 90s,
jumping through.
Your main obstacle was avoiding lava, and it was just like I think it penetrated the heads of a generation that's like, guys, you know, there's probably going to be lava pits just opening up everywhere and rivers of lava that we're going to have to avoid. It is the primary plot point and objective of most games that I've played as a child. So, you know, at least we don't have that to contend with, you know.
At least.
All right. What else do you have, Emily?
Okay. You know that like sort of joke about how millennials are like disrupting every industry, like
10 years ago,
avocado industry. Yeah. So there was always this thought that like Gen Z was going to continue that, but it turns out AI is actually disrupting the industry, and a lot of people are just ignoring it. What's interesting is a new report found that 48% of companies have already replaced at least one worker fully with AI, if not more. Since it became available last year, and more are obviously expected to follow. But what's insane is there's another report coming out that a majority of people are not worried about AI taking over their job, and they're just kind of like sticking their head in the sand saying, you know, I'm going to be fine, I can't be replaced. But there is legitimate data saying that you could be replaced by AI, or at the very least, you could be replaced by a human who's willing to work with AI and use it in some capacity.
I will say, like, it's like my job got replaced by AI, and then someone else's job now is to go back and confirm that the AI was good. Like, that's the other thing. Like, anytime I use AI, it's like, all right, it did the job for us. You know, there's a couple things you might want to go back and check. And by the time you get done fixing what the AI did, you're like, I may have just been able to do this with my human intelligence.
Right. Don't tell anybody.
Listen, it'll probably get better. I mean, I was in a, you know, working on a project. We replaced a voiceover position for AI voiceover because you can find any voice you want. There's a voice cloning software that we were making like a sample of a product, and instead of hiring, you know, a voiceover actor, we just had it. So there are applications that's like, that works better. But there's also stuff that's like, don't worry, ChatGPT or whatever can knock this out. And then you're like, all right, well, I noticed an error in the first 100 words here. Someone's gonna have to go through this with a fine tooth comb. So again, like I think AI is going to be extremely valuable. But when it comes to replacing entire jobs, I think there are jobs that are vulnerable, but there are other ones that I think we just got to figure out an efficient way to apply this. I don't think it's as much of a magic bullet in every scenario as some people kind of assume, you know.
What do you think is the first job that got taken out by AI? Probably like publicist,
Customer service.
Everyone's like, write me a bio. Right, everyone's like writing bios and stuff. I feel like that was like the first thing.
Maybe a little bit. I think customer service. Think that's what's
online.
Well, I mean, think
about chatbots. Yeah, like it's AI now. There's not a human over there solving your tech issues.
It's terrible too. It
that's
is.
AI. Like, come on. I don't even know. They have like real voices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Online customer service.
Yeah, that's what's crazy is like a lot of people have used AI for years. They just didn't think about it or they weren't really aware of it. But yeah, like anytime you go to a customer service and you need help, if they push you to a chat bot, you're talking to AI.
Yeah.
You can tell right away.
So,
cause it's not
so hold on. So, okay. This is where we need to talk about. The real subject is how do they make these voices? Like this, they're almost stereotypical in like voice. Like I thought a Puerto Rican guy was helping me on when I was at BestBuy.com and I think it was AI. Like, do they have voices of like nationalities and stuff like that? Like guys,
yeah,
like,
absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So the guys are like a smoking Puerto Rican guy. Like he was like, "Hello," I got like he was like a whole thing. And I'm like, they're making voices.
This is actually not my voice. I use AI.
The guy was a little too professional for being a human. Like he was like saying words, and I'm like, you would never. So I'm like thinking maybe AI.
It's a big part of the actor strike right now because studios figured out that they have extras or they have, you know, these actors, and then they have enough footage and voice to then perpetuate that character forever and not pay the actor. So like especially cartoons and stuff like that. So that's one of the strike issues is the role of AI in compensation. So if you have my image and likeness and voice, you don't own that, you know, like that's what they're negotiating about right now. So,
yeah. And I think there's a degree of inevitability, right? Like people, it's like, look, when the locomotives came along, stagecoach drivers were out of the job, you know, and then all of a sudden people had cars and now locomotive captains. The technology is going to evolve. But the other thing, too, is like there's going to be jobs in making and creating AI applications. Right, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like it's not like someone has to be behind the scenes, you know, creating this stuff as well. Like it is just one of those things. Anytime there's any sort of technological innovation that's going to make a current standard antiquated, people who work in those, you know, roles that are now being, you know, kind of made no longer relevant are going to be upset. But it's just the nature of technological evolution. It's like I said, someone has to make the AI. There's going to be jobs at AI companies. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, you can't just have McDonald's making you a burger. You have to have somebody watching that machine to make sure that they didn't give you too many pickles and stuff. Yeah,
but instead of having 10 workers, it's going to be one worker, and
it's very Oompa Loompa-ish, you know what I mean? Right? It's very chocolate factory-ish. One person to a bunch of like Oompa, and the Oompa Loompa is like AI, and then you have that one person watching everyone, making sure that's taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
yes,
but
Oompa Loompas really are exactly like. Yeah.
Well, I was like, I like wow.
Where are you going with this? I don't even know.
Wow.
This
is
my first day. I'm sorry.
All right. What else do you have, Emily?
Last thing is Lauren Daigle is coming out with the second half of her self-titled album. She released the first half in March. We actually spoke to her about it in the summer issue of Relevant.
What? Marty, what's her reaction?
I'm just kidding. The second half, she wasn't happy with the first successful blossoming, like this huge successful album. It's like Taylor Swift. You know, she has her Anti-Hero, but now Anti-Hero 2 is like, it's just success on success, just green lights the whole way. I love it. So beautiful. Good for you, Lauren.
It is
good for you. She's so famous, they call her Lauren. They don't call her Lauren. They call her Lauren Daigle everywhere she goes. That's how famous she is. First and last name.
Is that the sign
that
of
is
fame?
The sign
when
of
they
fame.
When they use both your names, it's on. Yeah. If they use both your names, it's on.
So she
one
is
name,
famous.
You still the homie.
People use
two
my
names. If you start walking around, they start calling you Emily Brown.
They call her Downtown, so it's like a nickname on top, I think, right? Like,
yeah.
Well, people do call me Emily Brown because there's a lot of Emilies, so they got to clarify which one they're talking to.
Okay.
I don't think it's a fame thing.
But
I'm going to tell myself
famous.
Now it's because I'm
famous.
You're
pretty famous to me.
All right, so Lauren Daigle, new album coming out next week.
We actually do have a song that she's released from the album. We can play it now.
Here it is.
Because even when your heart is breaking and you've gone and lost your way, you're gonna be okay.
All right, well, there you go. And actually, she's gonna be on the podcast next week to, you know, you can't roll out the second half of your album without coming on the Relevant podcast and tell people about it.
Exactly. I think Drake's dropping the same week, so good luck, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Same market. He'll also be on our podcast.
He'll be on the podcast next week as well.
Yeah, yeah. All right, there you go. That'll do it for
Relevant Buzz.
Check out relevantmagazine.com every weekday, where we're covering the intersection of faith, culture, and everything in between. Thanks, Emily. All right, stay tuned. Up next, King's Kaleidoscope joins us.
I'm not afraid to die.
You're listening to Hannah Eid. The song is Weird.
She was a chronic people pleaser with an unfulfilling career in Hollywood until she surprised everyone by joining a convent. Equal parts tell-all and rallying cry, Sister Monica Claire's memoir, A Change of Habit, reveals how much we stand to gain when we fully embrace our authentic selves. Sister Helen Prejean says it's, quote, for anyone who needs a little love, a little faith, right now. A Change of Habit, Leaving Behind My Husband, Career, and Everything I Owned to Become a Nun, by Sister Monica Claire, is available now wherever books are sold.
Well, our guest today is Chad Gardner from King's Kaleidoscope. King's is one of our favorite bands, and they just recently dropped an incredible album called King's Kaleidoscope. He sat down with Emily to tell us about how the album came together and how they stay focused on a message of hope. Here's part of our conversation with King's Kaleidoscope.
Well, I'm excited to talk with you about your new album. How do you feel now that it's out?
I suppose with every album release, I feel kind of relieved. It's like there's a seeming, you know, infinite amount of decisions that go into making an album. There's so many creative decisions. There's so many decisions about the release, the timing, the schedule, the just everything. And then once it's streaming around the world and it's out there and alive, there's no more of those decisions to make. And so it feels very freeing, maybe in a kind of a simple way, but in a very real way. It's like, all right, I am free from this thing that has, you know, been all consuming for years. It's just done. It's over now. It feels great.
Awesome. Yeah. It's got to feel weird too, like you said, like spending years on this and then just the day arrives and it's like, it's here, it's out here.
And then, you know, like a week later, Spotify will tell you that only like 16% of your followers have listened to it. And you're like, okay, cool. It's always like that, you know, it's like, all right, cool.
It's interesting, like the artists, like that y'all do have to like play this game in order to get your music out there.
For the first time, we were sitting in an airport. We just played a festival in like north of Boston the week that the album came out. And I was thinking about all of this, like, gosh, like all of our peers and like all of like our, you know, like my friends, they're playing this game, which is basically all of your like industry value is your monthly listener count on Spotify, which is a pretty narrow thing. Like you can have a lot of people listening to you for a single, but they may listen less hours, which is actually how you get paid. You get paid off the amount of hours that people stream your music. We've always been a band that has people listening to our music over and over and over again. Like we make deep albums, but not necessarily like broad brush, like pop music. Nothing that's wrong with that at all. But anyways, all this to say, I was just sitting there like, I don't think I'm going to play this game this round. And just off the cuff, I dropped a Dropbox link to our album for all of our fans like a week before it came out. I just said, anybody who's coming to see our tour, just send a screenshot of your ticket to like our like text sort of thread that like my wife and I run, and we'll just send you a Dropbox link. So we leaked our own album to our fans because I just thought like, this is dumb. Like we have a great, awesome like cult thing going with King's Kaleidoscope and all of our fans are so diehard, why not just like take care of them before we take care of like a statistic, you know, that's so ambiguous.
Okay, well, going back to the actual album, I did want to ask, like, what would be sort of like a message or theme that ties this project together?
So basically, the last 2 to 3 years, the band has been started actually kind of during the pandemic, but we would sort of like huddle up at what we called it Camp Kaleidoscope up here in Washington, and have these sort of these writing camps where we would just honestly jam. We would we'd work on serious songs. We'd also just go out and like, you know, try to play as many genres as we could in like 1 hour, and then go jump in the pool. Like just have fun, right? And you know, this is during sort of like the COVID era where there, you know, people were really isolated and things weren't really open yet necessarily, and we were kind of like basically creating a bubble, you know, a couple times a year. And so what ended up happening is we just created a ton of stuff. And last year we thought we had an album, and we had the idea of, before we release it, let's go tour it. Let's, everything's been locked down, everything's open, let's just perform the album live for a month and then see how we feel afterwards. And so we did that. We went out and toured the country. It was the biggest tour we'd ever done. And we played 30 minutes of brand new music right in the middle of the show every night, which was a wild experiment. It was very cool. But yeah, it was also very revealing, because about halfway through the tour, I kind of knew, all right, we have two albums here. We actually, like, the songs are like very clearly two things. And one of those things is, in that isolating time where everybody's back at home, I was seriously wrestling with just trying to like get at the root of like lifelong anxiety disorder, and you're really trying to pull it apart. And I ended up making one album out of that, Baptized Imagination. And that really is kind of like my narrative of that time, and me sort of facing myself and God in that. And it's a difficult album, but with a lot of surrender and hope at the end of it. And then we had, once that album came out about a year ago, after the tour, we still had all these other songs. And it was like, man, the rest of this batch of songs is almost awkwardly fun. Like, where did these come from during this time, right? And we realized that these are the pockets of joy that we had together while everybody was sort of at home facing their demons the last couple of years. We would fly in, we'd hang out at Camp Kaleidoscope. Like I said, we would go to the studio and just, all right, how many genres can we play in 1 hour, and then we're going to go play basketball, you know, or whatever, go make dinner. Like, we would have a lot of fun. And so it became clear that this album, the self-titled album, was self-referencing to the fact of, this is how our band encourages each other. The songs are very like interpersonal. They're not sort of like me and God wrestling with faith in like very dramatic gestures like a lot of our albums are. These are like lighthearted songs of encouragement, or songs of deep encouragement, like to each other. And there's like a pressure valve release in a lot of the music too, where it's just very free and communal. So that's sort of how we ended up with these two albums out of the same period. You know, obviously one we released last year, Baptized Imagination, and then now this self-titled album, which, yeah, just really references the way that the band interacts with each other and encourages each other.
I love that. And I love hearing how that came together, because I always think it's interesting when a band puts out a self-titled album, especially after they've like already had a few projects, because I feel like, you know.
Yeah.
But it makes sense, like you said, like that these are just sort of like a reflection of like your time together and like your encouragement with each other.
Yeah.
I did kind of actually want to go back to Baptized Imagination, because you said something that, for me as a fan, what I've always really enjoyed about y'all is you have these deep emotions, but you always find a way to like find hope in them. Even if it seems impossible. Like, it just, there's, they're very hope filled. And I think that's something that a lot of people really need right now, is just like acknowledging the emotions that are heavy and weighed down, but still being able to find hope. And I'd really just love to know, like, how do you personally keep hope alive in your life?
It is interesting that that our music really, there's a lot of like wrestling in it, and there's a lot of whatever lament or like fight, but it almost always resolves in some, yeah, surrender and like very hopeful outlook. I think that's probably because that's just what I long for. Like, that's probably the deepest desire of my heart, is for the gospel to be real. It's for Christ to feel more alive and true in me than anything else in the world. It's for me to feel like my existence is on purpose and beautiful. And you know, it's like a lot of people would maybe if you ask my friends or like my wife or something, they would maybe say that I am not pessimistic, but like, I don't think my friends walk around and be like, Chad is just so hopeful. I think I am actually very, you know, I have like an intensity to me, or there's a sharpness to the way that I view myself or the world. I don't know if it's even a good or a bad thing, but it's there. But underneath that is this very helpless, childlike human that just wants the gospel more than anything else. And so I don't know if I'm answering the question right, but it's sort of inevitable that the music is going to end up there, because it's what I want more than anything else in the world. And it's a choice too. It's like, I just don't, life is so hard. Like, I've gone through so much in my life up to this point that I just can't imagine kind of just sitting with it and there being no hope on the other side of it. So yeah, I fight to see the truth and the hope of Jesus. Like, it's actually like something I choose to fight for, but it's just also something that I desire more than anything else.
Was Chad Gardner from King's Kaleidoscope. Make sure to check out their new album, King's Kaleidoscope. It's out now. All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's your feedback. You're listening to Hemlock Springs. The song is Anyone, but it's spelled E-N-K-N-E-E and then the digit one, Anyone. Get it?
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Okay, it's time for your feedback. Last week, what were we talking about?
It's because I was supposed to go see the Chicago Bean.
The Bean.
But I will say, Jesse talked me out of it. I made it all week in Chicago, didn't go see it.
You didn't go see the Bean?
There were other things to do.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, you don't want to go see the Bean? Google Chicago Bean. That's exactly what it looks like. Like, I don't, this is not something, I don't need to rehash what I said last week. There's certain things you just don't need to see in person. Like, I get the idea. It's a big metal bean. So, I bet, yeah.
So we asked you guys for your the most overrated landmark or tourist attractions that you've experienced. You hit us up on the social medias. I can't say X. I don't like it. At Relevant Podcast. And here's some of our replies.
Carla and Rachel. I'm gonna choose Rachel. Rachel said the Leaning Tower of Pisa is incredibly underwhelming, and that's literally the only thing in Pisa, except for cheap souvenirs and overpriced terrible pizza.
Oof. Ooh, she did not like.
She sounds like she had the worst time.
She was.
Was she in Pisa and just like, all right, we got to go see the Leaning Tower? Or it's like, listen, we got to go out of the way to see this Leaning Tower. That's my theory with the bean. I've seen enough pictures of that where I have a pretty good understanding. I haven't looked up the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I haven't run across an image from it, and I have no idea when. I have a perfectly clear image of it in my head. If you're asking me to draw it, I think I could draw a pretty good image of it. I don't need to see it. Like, if I'm in Italy kicking around and you're telling me there's nothing in Pisa but a Leaning Tower, it just confirms my theory. Just the postcard. Look, that's what it looks like. Let's go to Rome or something. You know what I mean? Where I can do things, not just look at stuff.
I agree. I agree with you, Jesse. I feel like going to the bean, I'm like, you're just looking at yourself. It's a reflection. It's a mirror. It's a circle mirror. It looks like from Terminator 2, just like, that's like his first form. He's just into that form.
Okay. Here's I got a hot take about Leaning Tower Pizza. Okay. I don't know if you guys are ready for this. I don't know if the internet's ready for
this. How hot can we get this? All right. How hot's this take?
Tear it down. Get it done. Because here's the thing. It's
you
not
said
that remarkable.
Tear it
it's
down?
A, get rid of it. It
tear
has,
it down.
There's nothing remarkable. It's just like an eight-story tower. It just happens to have be built on poor footing. It's probably a safety hazard. And if it wasn't so old, there'd be nothing notable about it. I can go down iDrive in Orlando, and there's a building that looks like it is upside down. To me, that is way if there was some sort of natural disaster that wiped people away, that wiped humanity away, WonderWorks in iDrive would be the new Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Really cool.
People from around the world would become, you got to see this building. It's upside down. They built it upside down. That's what we're doing with Leaning Tower of Pisa. The people who built it had no idea. We'd be coming there
speaking
hundreds of years
of
later.
Orlando, speaking of Orlando, David Mandel said Orlando is overrated. Said Disney
the
World has its the whole city. Said Disney World has its flaws, but I quite enjoyed that. But once you leave Disney World, it's a sprawling enormity of parking lots, strip malls, and cheesy souvenir shops.
And
it's also home of the worst barbecue I've ever had. A dry husk of oversmoked turkey outside the Citrus Bowl. He just cooked your whole city. Cameron, do you have
a
response?
Cameron, do you have a rebuttal?
I know exactly where he went. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
did he see the upside down building? Did he see the upside down building?
He didn't leave Kissimmee. I'm like, who? I mean, he's literally describing
that strip that just has every Sizzler still on that strip. I know where he got stuck.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I know exactly what he's talking about.
It's like Vegas. Dude. Orlando's Vegas to me, right, Cam? Like, yes. There's that one strip, but yeah, it's like a small
down,
strip.
Down there.
Yeah, but that's not even Orlando. Drive. That's kind of like Orlando does have a lot of great things.
This don't affect me because this dude didn't leave, you know, the cheesy tourist area. That's fine. I mean, go to any cheesy tourist area.
So he got
trapped.
He
didn't come to the real city. He didn't go to the real city. Come to my neighborhood. I'll take you some good restaurants. You'll see a real town here. So anyway.
I want to talk about Carla's real quick. She thinks Stonehenge is overrated.
Mm-hmm.
She said it's just a bunch of rocks in the ground. Cool, but expensive and long wait to look at the rocks. Drive by on the road. That's all you need.
Well, what does she expect? This is on her. Like, again, you can see it in pictures, like a perfect representation of it. Like, you can't go in Stonehenge. There's nowhere to walk. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just rocks. Like, if you can go in somewhere and have a good meal or hear some cool music somewhere, go have fun. If it's a ride, you can do something. But if you're just going to look at stuff, I just don't see the point.
Yo, when she said drive by that mug, I was dead.
just see it from the road. It's fine.
Yeah,
look at Max. We can tell you the communist is on Twitter. Just kidding. I'm just joking.
Yo,
anything in the U.S. That was his response to that question. Anything in the US. Just kidding.
Anything.
I kind of want to flip this, though, because like all of these, I'm kind of like, yeah, they got a point here. But I'm trying to think what actually, in my mind, is like, all right, what actually delivered? Like, when did I go to something like a tourist trap? And it's harder to think in that case. It's harder to be like, man, went an hour out of the way to go check this thing out and it was totally worth it. It seems like most of them fall in the category of, could have just done the drive-by. Can you guys think of one times where you went to one of these tourist traps
West Hollywood.
Was actually worth the
West
time?
Hollywood was the worst thing ever. I just want to add to the worst things. West Hollywood, if you go to California, it's the, oh, they cleaned it up though, but Scientology owns everything in like West Hollywood. It's almost like Jehovah's Witnesses in like Brooklyn, like they own like all the big buildings in Dumbo. Like in West Hollywood, it's all Scientology and they all look like these really crazy Ron L. Hubbard buildings. And so it's the most overrated. Don't do it. Don't go to West Hollywood. It's the worst thing in the world. Another overrated thing. Everyone goes there. I don't know why.
Only thing I would say delivered is nature. Nature.
I would say natural wonders. Yeah. Like Yellowstone, Wyoming. You're driving up the PCH California coastline and going to Big Sur and like that always blows my mind.
Very dangerous though. There's bears, there's poison leaves, and it's, you know, again, I think the resolution here is just we all have the internet, we all have TV, it's great, you know, like we can look at cool stuff online and do that. I don't know.
I'm just all about experiences, man. I could watch a video of Disney World and that's not the same as experiencing it and riding that roller coaster myself, you know. I don't know.
Don't get me started on Disney.
What
the anim
Jesse, which is better, Disneyland
every time
or Disney
I've gone,
World? Have you been to, like, which one do you like?
No, I've only been to Florida. And listen, I haven't been to like Avatar World or Star Wars.
Coming,
I know,
out,
it's upgrading.
Crazy.
But for a long time, every ride was the same. It was you get on a little floating boat thing, go through an animatronic world, and if you're lucky, there's going to be one drop.
One little
drop. Otherwise, you wait in line, you get on a little boat, you go see little robot Disney figures that haven't been upgraded in a while, or you go look at the future as it was envisioned in the 80s. That was for a long time.
Crazy.
Let's be honest with ourselves.
You're like on a roll today. Like everything you've been saying has been like fact.
It's crazy.
It's real talk.
You're
listen,
on one today. I don't know what happened.
People
you're
aren't ready
it.
For the
yeah,
truth.
This is right. What do you think about that, Cam? Do you think it's
people
like
aren't
that?
Ready
you
for
like
it.
You like Disney, right? You go kid and have fun.
It's fine. I'm not the target demographic. It's fine. You know. It's I get why people
accurate.
Like it.
We defend it because we're from Florida. I think too. It's like our thing.
Listen, your experience at the Magic Kingdom is not inaccurate. How's that? But there is a lot more to do than your little floaty
rides.
Animal
Kingdom is dope, though. Again, nature.
That's what I'm saying.
Animal Kingdom is kind of dope.
I love going to
Disney.
I love spending $1,000 for no reason. You know, it's great.
I remember going to MGM or whatever the MGM Studios was. And at one point, they had the Indiana Jones stunt ride.
They still
and I was
do.
Like,
they still do.
I saw this when I was a kid on an episode of Full House. Like, you can't upgrade.
Yes.
I saw that episode. Like, the Tanner family went on one of those special crossover episodes
so
where,
good.
Like, the Family Matters family, they all went to Disney. You know, a TGIF
family Matters
special
family,
Disney
they went
thing.
To, like, Busch
I saw
Gardens,
that.
And then the Full House family went to Disney. It was, like, kind of racism there somehow. I don't know. I just felt bad. Felt weird.
Yeah, you haven't updated the attractions since I was watching TGIF at 12. Like, I'm in my 20s. I saw this as a kid. Like, upgrade. At that point there hadn't been an Indiana Jones movie in 10 years. Like,
Cameron,
that was my thing with Disney.
Is laughing through the pain right now. You have to see.
They've upgraded.
He's laughing in slow motion, which
they've
makes
upgraded.
Me laugh because his connection is slow.
Said
so he's
that
like this.
They still have the stunt show.
He's laughing like Wreck-It Ralph.
They kept some of the classics, but they've upgraded.
It's like, listen, I know what's going to happen. Do you know how I know that actor is going to run and the boulder's going to roll over him? Because I saw it on Full House.
They kind of ruined it, spoiled it. They did. They spoiled it.
Yeah, they gave it all away. I would say, but they're living up to things like in Africa, going on a photo safari and seeing. But again, it's nature. I'm trying to think of any man-made occasion or attractions that live up to it. Like museums, maybe the British Museum or the Louvre.
Well, I was going to say, I museums do like art museums. Like, and I think Aaron mentioned as like an overrated thing is Mona Lisa. And I do agree with that. I think Mona Lisa is overrated specifically because right across the wall is this massive painting of Jesus, like speaking to the masses. And like, no offense to Mona Lisa, but like that is much more interesting to me. And not just because I'm a Christian, but because it's a lot more detailed. And so it, like, art museums are cool, but I think that there are certain pieces that get overhyped. And it's like you said, Jesse, like I feel like I saw the Mona Lisa more up close on my computer than I did in real life.
Yo. Because you did. Because you can zoom in. Right? It's just a superior experience.
It's so small. Yeah. Yeah. Everything's always smaller because we envision it being huge. So you go see the Mona Lisa, you're like, this is it? Like, yeah. This is it? It's like going to Paris. I feel like every dad, when they go to Paris, they're like, this is it? This is Paris? Like, it's dirty. It looks like the set of Ninja Turtles 1. It just doesn't feel like everything's like dark and dingy and like dusty. Like, you know, it's just crazy.
But this is the main reason why when albums come out or movies come out, I don't watch them initially. Because I think sometimes we fall victim to the hype. Mm. Like, think about it. Your whole life, you're like, I have to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You save up for it. You know what I'm saying? You take off vacation from work and then you get there and you like, this is it? This is what all that vacation time that I just took up is for. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's us more than it is the actual.
Yeah, we overhype it. You're right.
Is there anybody who's like, is there anyone who's like number one tourist attraction is the Leaning Tower of Pisa? Because I would want to talk to that person.
Yeah.
If that's their peak, yeah, yikes.
Golly, man. Yeah. But
what's the history?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know,
I think somebody with two different size legs.
You know what I'm saying? And it'll never live up to the hype. That's why I definitely just chill out when it comes to stuff. You know, you got to chill out.
Hold on, Jesse, what did you just say? What did you just say, please? I need to hear this one more time. Jesse's been killing it today. I'm sorry. Say that again.
Emily said, is there anyone out there whose Leaning Tower of Pisa is number one on their attraction list? And I said, the only person I can think of is someone who's born with two different size legs.
Prescription shoes.
Prescription shoes.
You gotta choose.
I knew a kid in high school, he had prescription shoes.
Am I going to get trouble for that?
This is off the rails. I'm just saying,
if you need prescription shoes, Jamie, don't worry.
We'll probably have to just edit it out.
He had one thick heel, like one foot was like this thick. And then the other one was normal. He always had one.
She was the moral compass of this show. This show is going.
I'm sorry, guys. But for real, I did have a friend. He had two different size legs, and he had this one special shoe, his prescription. And it literally was like thick. It was like one thick, like John Travolta, like 70s. And the other one was normal. And it was always New Balance. He was always.
All right. Well, there's more where that came from. Y'all have been disappointed a lot. The Great Salt Lake. Somebody took on Amsterdam. Statue of Liberty. I agree with that.
I one time flew around the top of Mount Everest in like a tourist plane that takes you around the top. You know what? It looked exactly like you think it was. Big mountain, really big. It's huge. It's got big snow mountain up there. It's. Do you know what it does deliver?
What's that? DiGiorno.
No, it's close. Olive Garden. Here's why. Did you see that couple that took their engagement photos outside of the Olive Garden?
You walked right into that. Oh my gosh.
Well, no, they framed it like they just took it from certain angles, and it looked like they were outdoor in Tuscany, right?
And and if I go to Cracker Barrel, it looks like I'm in Mississippi. I get it. It's all aesthetic. I get it, guys.
and I don't know when the last time you went to Olive Garden is. It is so good.
Okay,
man.
My wife tried to take me to Olive Garden.
It was fine dining
2 weeks ago, and I couldn't.
Jesse,
I was grossed out.
Jesse, cut his mic off, Cameron.
Jesse's sitting there saying how much he doesn't like seeing like the wonders of the world, but he's defending that Olive Garden is amazing.
Marty, did you say you love Olive Garden as well?
No, I went to Olive Garden for the first time 2 weeks ago with my wife, and I was so grossed out I couldn't eat. I was like, I'm good. I don't do this. And the waitress is like, what do you mean you don't do this? I don't believe in this. She's like, chicken cutlets? I'm like, it's just, it's so thin. It doesn't look right. Like, my mom's Sicilian. If I ate this, she'd beat me up. You know, it's just different. You know, in my family, if you eat that, you're a traitor. It's different. Different, Jesse.
Derek, when is the last time you've had Olive Garden? I'm curious.
Listen, man, I haven't had Olive Garden in... I haven't had Olive Garden since I started making money. That's a long time.
Well, you do yourself a favor. They have great lunch specials, and they get you in and out.
2 for $20.
I'm telling you, when you have, they really do. They have these great like lunch deals.
I should just get a TV dinner because that's literally all it really is. It's just frozen pasta, TV dinners.
Let me stop you there. You will take one bite of that breadstick and be like, he's right, man. This is great. Why haven't I been coming here? This is a great deal.
I think you've mentioned this before because you start talking about Taco Bell, and I was charging my Tesla, and I ate Taco Bell, and I was extremely frustrated.
I think there's a connection,
Jesse,
there.
We do not take food reviews from you ever again.
There's a connection between the kids who don't drink anymore and Olive Garden somehow. Like, that just makes sense. Like,
okay.
The kids that don't drink anymore in the Olive Garden.
I don't know what the connection is.
Somehow there's something that connects in that article to this story. I don't know. I just feel like that.
It's really funny. All right. It's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
Well, you know, this is a momentous occasion because Marty is officially joining. He's part of the Relevant family now. He's joining the show. So we want, for the question of the week, we want you to ask Marty anything. We're going to do an AMA, Ask Marty Anything, on next week's show. So send in questions, hot button issues, whatever you want. You can ask Marty anything and we'll answer them on next week's show. All right. Hit us up on Twitter/X at Relevant Podcast or on Threads and everywhere else we'll post this. Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank King's Kaleidoscope for joining us today. Make sure to check out their new album, self-titled, if you haven't already. It's great. Get caught up on all their stuff. They're unreal. Also, hey, want to thank Marty for being here, joining the cast. I'm excited about this new era kicking off today. You know, stay tuned as we keep evolving the show a little bit. This is the first change. There's some more changes coming. All good stuff. You're going to start seeing more video from the show, or video at all. We're going to have an entire video edition of the podcast, full length, available as well. We're doing some stuff. We're working on some stuff in the next couple weeks. So make sure to keep your eye on all that and don't miss an episode. Hey, it's the last couple weeks of our summer issue of Relevant. Make sure to go check it out at relevantmagazine.com. Cover story with Lauren Daigle, Arizona, Drew Holcomb, Naomi Rain, so much more. Some great think pieces. It's available for free. Just click the magazine tab right there. And if you want a beautifully designed, ad-free, enhanced reading experience, make sure to check out Relevant Plus. It's the ad-free best way to experience our content. You get an ad-free version of this podcast, an exclusive subscriber podcast, ad-free unlimited reading at the website, and like I said, an enhanced digital issue as well. Plans start as low as $250 a month. You can find out all the info right there at relevantmagazine.com. All right. Hey, if you like the show, if you're still listening, maybe you do. If you like the show, rate it and review it wherever you listen. It helps the algorithm. It bumps things, gets word out. And we love seeing the feedback. So yeah, give us those 5 stars and tell us your favorite Jesse story. There you go. Do that. Go do that. That'll be funny. Okay. On that note, we'll wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Derek Miner.
I'm Marty.
I'm Emily Brown.
All right. We will see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
You can see it in pictures.
Relevant Podcast Network.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.